Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Uncle Dougie's back today. Jessica's here as the Organic Gardeners. EverybodyGardens.com to plug into what Doug does. And, of course, the Trib. And just about anywhere good books are sold, it's all about Jessica Wallacer. It is your Organic Gardeners. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, as we've been saying all day, fall back, fall back, fall back. So you gained an extra hour of sleep. It's going to start getting dark early, and I'm sure it had something to do with agriculture and farmers, why we're doing this today, to give them a break. And as you get ready to take a break from the garden, you're probably already thinking, how can I do better next year? Well, whatever's on your mind, we'd love to hear from you at 866-391-1020. But we always like to begin in a very generous frame of mind, giving you an opportunity to win a $25 gift certificate from the good people at Sorghulls. Their time of year, the holidays fast approaching. What you need to do is be the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. And now, as we await your phone calls, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, the dynamic duo of the gardening world, Doug Oster and Jessica Wallacer.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Wallacer.
And an extra hour of sleep. Yahoo!
We were in the parking lot. We happened to arrive at the same time today, and he gets out of his truck, and I get out of my car, and he's like, an extra hour of sleep. And I was like,
does make a big difference, though.
It's surprising how much difference it makes.
Then I said, yeah, I went to bed at 8:30, and you were like, does that mean 7:30? I said, no, that means 8:30, 9:30, not 8:30, 7:30. And then we just said, let's just pretend like we don't, it's just the regular time, okay?
Yes, it can be very confusing. I remember when you have like a baby in the house, how awful both directions of daylight savings time is, because the baby doesn't know, and, you know, especially on the spring forward, and it... Yeah, but now, you know, that my kid's older, he's not so much of a problem. And I this time of year, man, it's great. In the spring, not so great.
I hate when it gets dark at night.
I don't mind that. I don't mind the dark at night. I don't like waiting at the bus stop in the dark. So I'm happy for this.
There was an absolutely beautiful sunrise this morning coming over the Allegheny.
I bet there was.
I came across the bridge. Well, before I ask you about what's going on in your garden, I want to tell you about something pretty special. Wouldn't you love a free mum?
Why, yes, I would.
Our friends at Han Nursery have a lot of beautiful mums left over, and they look good. I was there the other day. You can get a free mum in a 6-inch pot by just going to Han Nursery in Ross and saying, I heard it on the Organic Gardeners. Tell them Jess and Doug said hi, and you'll get this really nice-looking mum. Han Nursery is located at Babcock and 3 Degree in Ross. Go down there, and they got a lot of other deals too. I've got a bunch of trees sitting there. I've got a hornbeam tree sitting there. I've got a stewardia, Korean stewardia.
Ooh, nice.
There, yes. And what else do I have? Oh, and a witch hazel.
Why are they there and not at your house?
Because I've been on the road and
okay.
Everything.
So you've purchased them.
Probably going to get them today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I follow them on Facebook, and I've been seeing that they've been having some sales and things like that. And they post a lot of pictures of the current plant material, and they've got a lot of fall bloomers, a lot of shrubs with excellent fall color. And in fact, all of our local nurseries are, you know, many of them are running sales and things like that. Great time. We talked about this a little bit last week. Great time to go out. Still plenty of time for planting. The soil is still nice and warm. And that is great for promoting root growth, which is exactly what you want to happen when you plant a new tree or shrub.
So what's going on in your garden? What's left to do?
I've got two tasks left to do. I've emptied all my pots.
I wish I only had two.
I'm excited as to the position I'm in. Well, you know, the point, again, that we talked about last week of stopping your fall cleanup and letting your plants stand through the winter to provide a habitat for all the little creatures out there.
I gave you a shout out the other day.
Excellent.
In one of my videos.
Good.
That's where I learned that from.
Yep.
I always did it because I was lazy, but now I'm doing it
for
the right reason.
Right. So that has made my fall a lot easier. But I do still clean up all my containers. That's always my biggest fall task, is emptying those. But my two things I have left to do, I have a box of daffodils to plant. 100 daffodil bulbs, which won't take me very long to plant them. And then I have a red Abyssinian banana tree. I have two of them. I have one that is in a container. That's already been moved into the garage. And then I have one in my front bed right by the front door. And it's been obviously knocked back by a couple of frosts, but they're not hardy and they're not here and they're not, it's not going to make it through the winter. They're pretty tough, but I need to go out. And what I do to overwinter this plant is, because it's not potted, it's in the ground, I'll cut it back really hard and then dig it out and dig up. It's sort of like a rounded stump on the bottom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a big fibrous root system. And I'll dig that up. And then I actually just put that whole root system into a garbage bag. And I tie it off at the base of the plant. And I just drag that garbage bag into a bin in the garage, stick it in the corner. Don't water it all winter. Just let it go dormant and just sit there and be. And then in the spring when the weather warms up, then I'll move it back out into the garden. And so it's surprisingly easy to overwinter those.
Believe it or not, I still have peppers out there.
They haven't gotten frosted.
No. And dahlias. Wow. So it's been real close. And I should pull them. But I just want to see how long they'll go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the dahlias being in the ground, the roots are nice and insulated.
I've got that all to do. I've got to pull up all my tender bulbs, out of containers. Yeah. I've got colocasias, like Maui Gold or something like that. I bought them last year, actually, at Han for like $1 a piece. Overwintered them inside as houseplants and stuck them out. In the greenhouse in April, and now they're just huge.
Now, are you going to overwinter them as a houseplant again, or are you going to just do the bare bulbs?
Well, I'm not allowed to bring any more plants inside, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to sneak them in.
He says with a wink and a nod. So somehow, Cindy, if you're listening, count the houseplants now, because there might be some additional ones in a few days.
I'd never do that.
You have your greenhouse. Some of those you could overwinter.
Colocasia won't make it.
It won't make it.
No, I've got a fig tree in there. I've got one fig outside that I'm going to wrap, and I've got one fig tree in the greenhouse, which is actually the best success I've ever had at getting that first crop of figs, that Breva crop, where they'll put on figs like in April and then you're picking in June.
Yeah.
You just can't move the plant outside when you would want to because you'll knock the figs off.
Okay.
And I've got hundreds of bulbs coming to plant, some from Brent and Becky's and some from a company called Van England. Mm-hmm. That one I didn't know what it was. It bloomed. And I forgot about...
Oh, the Pushkinia.
Yeah, they're
cool bulbs.
I am just obsessed with Pushkinia.
Yeah.
Little white flowers with blue stripes, make a nice colony. The deer don't eat them.
Yep.
So I'm putting 100 more of those in, 300 tulips. Those are in the vegetable garden.
Yeah.
Sort of fenced in.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other daffodils, too. And then I'll be scouring all the nurseries looking for bulbs that people haven't picked up. This is the time to start looking for bulb bargains and lots of other bargains. You know me and my bargains.
I do know you and your bargains.
I'm so excited about bulb planting season for me. And then I've got garlic to put in yet too. You like this. I had a video where I went around and gave, like I do every year, I just did a video of it, gave garlic to all my friends.
I saw it. I watched fun. I saw you at Jono's studio, and the world would be a sad place without garlic, which is true.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls next.
Hey, before we get to the phones, I just wanted to mention that seats are going quick for my April trip to Italy. Almost sold out. There's a substantial discount until the end of November. Going to see Rome and the Amalfi Coast and more. You can see all the details at everybodygardens.com or DougOster.com, or just give me a call and I'll explain it to you. It's 412-965-3278.
I'd like to take a group of people to Wilkes-Barre. Don't ask me why, but I just always find that part of the state interesting. Have you ever been to Wilkes-Barre, Jay?
I have.
What's it like there?
Wilkes-Barre-y.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Scranton.
Yeah.
Lehigh Valley. It's Philly.
Yeah. I grew up over there. So.
Lancaster?
Mm-hmm. My niece went to college there. I've been to Lancaster many times.
Is it?
Lancaster's actually super, not to put down Wilkes-Barre, but Lancaster's.
Or Italy.
Yeah. I know.
Lancaster's a really cool community.
I'm a very easy person to get along with. I don't need Rome. I would like to see Lancaster someday. All right. What do you say we go to the phones and say hello to Pete in Elwood City? Hello, Pete.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Good morning. How are you?
Really good, really good. I have, along the property line, the previous owner had planted arborvitaes, and they were all one long, essentially like a wall of green, and they have to be probably now 25 or 30 feet tall. And the weirdest thing happened this summer, and we don't know why, but the second one in from the sidewalk just all of a sudden turned brown, and died. What makes an arborvitae of 30 years die like that? I don't want the other ones to go in case I need to do something.
Well, that proximity to the sidewalk might have something to do with it.
I could hear your heartbreak from here because that is so sad when you have plants that are that established
and a
you,
nice
you
row
lose
of them.
One like that. It is just, trust me, I feel for you on that. And it's a big mystery. And here's the deal. We can't tell you without knowing, A, has anything changed? You know, if they are near your sidewalk, have you started using a different kind of salt on that sidewalk in the wintertime that you could have a salt buildup? But usually that would
That's what we kind of thought. That's what we kind of thought might have happened.
Yeah.
But the one right next to the sidewalk is still thriving.
Okay. And there's no sign of any issues on any of the other ones at this point. Okay.
No.
So actually what I would really recommend that you do is is the plant still there, the dead one, is it still in the ground?
No, it's been cut off.
Do you have access to where some of the greenery from it, the dead greenery that you could send it into the Penn State Pathology Lab?
No, it's all gone.
Darn it. Okay, well, they might even take one of the, if the stump is still there, what I would do is I would, the Penn State, gosh, I'm trying to think of what you would Google. The Penn State Pathology Lab or Plant Disease Lab is what I think it's called. And you can actually contact them and send in a sample, whether it's a piece of the root or a piece of the trunk, or usually they ask for foliage, and they will actually run a disease analysis on it to see what it is. Because if it's something that's like a terrible root wilt that will spread from one tree to the other, there might be some things that you can do to prevent that from happening. It's actually the Plant Disease Clinic. So you would just Google Penn State Plant Disease Clinic. And then
okay.
it would come up with, how to send a sample and all that kind of stuff on there and a contact information.
And Jess, what do you think if he sees some discoloration coming on there again, get a certified arborist out there right away.
That's the other thing I was going to say that you could do is call the folks at Davy Tree and have them send out an ISA certified arborist to come out and take a look and assess and see if they have any recommendations as far as fertilizing the remaining trees, because that can really help boost their vigor as well and help them better off, you know, fight off any disease that's there. But there are some soil-borne pathogens that, you know, are really tough to control without knowing exactly what they are.
Well, I thank you for the information, but I want to make a couple more points, if it's okay.
Sure.
Well, my wife belongs to the Garden Club in Elwood City, and they hosted Doug this summer, and he came and did a presentation, and they're still talking about it, Doug.
Oh, in a good way.
In
I
a
hope.
Good way?
In a good way.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And the other thing is we want to thank you for the introduction to pit moss.
Oh, yeah. That stuff, I really fallen in love with that stuff. I love
We use that stuff on hard-to-water pots on the wall, and we probably watered a third of the time this year.
It's
and it was hot.
It's weird because the texture and everything is different.
Explain to people what it is.
It's
made cool
from
product.
Made from recycled newspaper, but the pit moss plentiful has organic fertilizers in it. It's all organic.
So it's like a potting soil,
yeah.
But it's made of recycled newspapers.
And like Pete said, you don't have to water as much for some reason. You use 2/3 less water, and I filled up most of my pots with it this year, and I just loved it. And it's a local product made in Ambridge. It was on Shark Tank. You might have heard about it on Shark Tank. But well, I'm glad that worked out for you, Pete. And I remember my speaking engagement there in Elwood City, how much fun we had. I'm glad that everybody enjoyed it as much as I did.
Where were you at in Elwood?
All right, you guys make our Sundays every week, so thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
So where were you at in Elwood?
It was Elwood City. It was the Garden Club there.
Nice.
Went and talked to them. And,
nice community.
It is a very nice
beautiful,
community.
Beautiful.
Love it. All right, let's go to Joanne in Whitehall. Hey, Joanne, how are you?
I have some problems with pruning things in my yard. Thank you for taking my call. The one is the forsythia. Now, I know you're supposed to do it right after it blooms in the spring, and I do. Then you get these branches coming out about 3 foot long that look terrible. Can you prune it the second time?
Well, yeah, but here's the deal about those 3 foot long branches is that's really the natural growth habit of a forsythia. Forsythias are vase-shaped. You know, naturally, unpruned, they're of beautiful vase shape. And when we prune them into sort of like the little meatball shape, what they're going to want to do, of course, genetically, is produce those long, lanky branches, which is their natural growth habit. So you have two options in my mind. One is to stop pruning it all together and let it go to its natural shape. Or you're going to have to prune those big, long, stringy things, as you describe them, more than once a year and risk getting rid of the blooms. So it's not that you're going to necessarily, with forsythia anyway, hurt that shrub by pruning it at the wrong time. It's that you're going to be affecting the flower production. So it's kind of like it's your personal decision which one you, you know, whether or not you're willing to do that. But it won't hurt the shrub.
Right up.
Yeah, they do. They do. Because it's again, it's like it's trying to
get his hair cut.
Yeah. It's like trying to control. What did the one guy from Davies do? Trying to control the growth of a teenager when all they want to do is grow. Right. Like a forsythia just wants to produce its natural vase shape of those long, wispy branches. And it's going to try to do that no matter how much you prune it. So you either got to step up your pruning game or allow it to go into that natural form.
Okay. Second thing was about holly. I have beautiful holly all over my grounds, and they do need to be trimmed back or pruned. When is the best time? And I was told again, do it right after they flower, like June, and yet they keep growing like crazy. So again, is it June is the best time to do the holly?
Well, I love to do my holly in the wintertime right before the holidays because I like to use those branches and boughs in decorations and things around the house because I'm like, if I'm going to prune them, I might as well get to enjoy the branches once they're pruned off and then they have berries on them and all that good stuff as well. So you could do it at that time of year, like December. You can even do it in January and still be okay. And the alternative then is to do it in the late spring or early summer. So you can go with one or the other. I mean, pruning is one of those things that we like to say, if you're going to do it, make it sort of an annual thing. But there are some plants, I mean, plants, they just want to grow. So you're going to have to either, you know, maybe prune twice a year or allow that plant to sort of have more of a natural shape.
Thank you for the call, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. And you can text us on the Red Automotive Line, best deal in town. And I'm going to get to some of those right after we get back from CBS Radio News at the bottom of the hour. Plus, we'll have an opportunity for you to take home a gift certificate from Janoski's. Again, if you want to talk to Doug and Jess, we do have a few lines available at 866-391-1020. Again, I hope you fall back and turned your clocks back at 2 a.m. this morning. That's 2 a.m. this morning, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Stay with us. Lots more to come today, including holiday baking next hour in the Coons Cooking Hour. Heffron Till It's In Your Money and You coming up today from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. And then it's Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. We're going to be talking a lot about the Steelers getting ready to take on Baltimore today on the road at 1 o'clock. Steelers currently a favorite by a field goal. That's on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show today on KDK Radio. You know how much you love that little car of yours, that cool-looking car that you have. I thought you'd appreciate this. I saw this on Facebook today. Now, going back to 1969, and Doug and I remember, well, you might forget parts of this. No, you were good in 1969. But
I was nine.
Yeah, you were very good at nine. It was the high school years you got a little carried away. But anyway, brand new, completely equipped, four-speed transmission, Hurst shifter, Shure grip, differential, radio, heater, 383 engine, heavy-duty suspension, heavy-duty brakes, heavy-duty shocks, Roadrunner. And if you brought in this ad, you got $50 off.
I like how they have to put in heater.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, like back when the heaters were optional.
But what do you think their ready-to-run list price was?
69 Roadrunner with a 383 in it?
Yeah.
4,200.
$3,138. But wow. If you go today... $2,695, friend. You could buy one for you and your friend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't that amazing?
And have heat.
Yeah. Hey, absolutely. All right, 10th caller wins a wonderful gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton. Here is that number, 412-922-1020. Let's go right back to who is next on the phone lines. You have any idea here?
Oh, we got to talk to Brad.
Okay, let's go to Brad in Clarion. How you doing, Brad? Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning, everybody.
How are things in Bear Country?
Oh, boy. It's really frosty here this morning.
Uh-huh.
Big, heavy frost.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to know about the manure situation. And we put a heavy load of manure on our garden last year, and it really thrived. If you remember right, we got it in late because of the rain and everything. And we had the best garden this year we've had in a long time. And I was wondering if it would be necessary to put manure on again.
It's never a bad thing. We always... We always say, though, that you've got to have well-aged manure, and that's very important.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, you know, every year I'm putting something down on my beds. You know, if I can find the manure, it's manure, compost, whatever it is, but that's never a bad thing.
And you got to, the only caution with manure, really, is the pathogens, obviously. So that's why you have to make sure it's well-aged or fully composted. But also, sometimes, depending on the source of the manure, it can be pretty high in nitrogen. And that can cause like your tomatoes and peppers to be really lush and green and beautiful, but then not produce a lot of fruits.
No.
So that would be the one thing to really watch for with annual additions of manure. So if you're gonna do it every year,
it's never a bad thing.
I wouldn't do more than like an inch on there.
69.
And that's it. And every year.
Go right back to.
Oh boy, if you remember,
the heaters were optional.
All right, listen, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Brad. And I think Brad kind of had the radio up there, and we were hearing a little delay. That's why it sounded a little confusing, but we're good to go. Let's go to Tom in Versailles. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning.
Morning.
I listen to you people every Sunday morning, and I have a question about a rhododendron.
Mm-hmm.
I put some dirt and a rock over top of one of the branches of the rhododendron.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to transplant that from the main, you know, cut it off the main plant and transplant it. Now, I checked it the other day, and it's got lots of roots.
Great.
But they're only fine roots, and they're only about 2.5-3 inches long.
Uh-huh.
This is a very bushy branch. Maybe about 6 or 7 branches on it, and nice, healthy, even a flower bud. The question is, do you think that if I cut that off now and transplant it, it would survive okay?
I would actually...
It's got lots of roots, but they're only... You know, they're not long.
Right, right. I would actually wait until spring to move that and disconnect it from the mother plant. You've done a process that's called layering, and it's actually a really easy way to propagate woody plant material or shrubs by bending that stem down and putting it in contact with the soil where it will naturally form roots. I would actually not disturb it for the rest of the fall or winter, and I would do that transplanting in the spring, maybe around mid to late April. Cut it off from the mother plant, dig it up, and try to keep as much soil on those fibrous roots as possible, and then move it to its new location from there. So let it have a couple more months of root growth before you move it.
Uh-huh.
What a great way to make more rhododendrons.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
That's a great way to make more rhododendrons, and it reminds me that I have to look at mine because I did some layering in the spring, and I want to see if they've rooted.
Yeah.
Well, I had it in there, and I have... decorative rock around the rhododendron, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so it didn't have a whole lot of dirt underneath it, but I was able to get some in there and cover it up like that.
Yeah, it's a fun experiment to do for
Definitely.
People too. You know, the woman that called about the forsythia earlier, that it works really well with those holly trees. You can do it with viburnums.
I'll tell you what, the caria that I have.
Uh huh. Oh, that's
they
super
do it
quick.
On their own.
Yeah. Yep.
And again, I can't remember where I moved it, so I'll have to take a look.
Nope.
All right, let's get to some of these, if you don't mind, as promised. These Wright Automotive text messages. I use some nematodes to control wireworms in my potatoes. Do I need to use them again?
Yes. Yeah, the species of nematodes that are used for both grub control in the lawn and for wireworms or iris spores, they're not winter hardy. So you have to reapply those every spring.
So talk about nematodes. What is that she's using to battle that problem?
So nematodes are a little microscopic roundworm, and they're actually predaceous. There are some species that are pests, but the ones that we're talking about here are intentionally added to the soil to combat soil-dwelling pests. And there's different species of them that attack different pests. And so you can go to a website like Peaceful Valley Farm Supply or Arbico Organics, and they sell different species of nematodes that you apply usually in the spring when the weather warms up, and they go out and they actively seek these pests. And they are a wonderful control for grubs, for Japanese beetle grubs. Like, I recommend them over milky spore anymore.
And, you know, I've actually seen those a lot more at local nurseries.
Yes.
You know,
they have to be refrigerated, so it's
right.
Challenging. Yeah.
Right.
But it's pretty cool and they're really effective. So yes, you should do that in your potato planting area, especially if you rotate your crops and it's a new area next year. You definitely want to make sure that you reapply.
What do wireworms do to potatoes?
So they literally make little tunnels and holes, little pockmarks in the potatoes. And sometimes they can make tunnels in there and gouge out areas on the side. It's really distinctive damage. Yeah, and they're gross.
Yuck.
They're gross. They can cause quite a bit of damage.
Kind of like little condos for wireworms.
There you go.
All right, here we go. We had a potith, is that right? P-O-T-H-I-S?
Pothos.
Pothos, okay. Mm-hmm. Plant hanging outside on the porch all summer, limited sun. It was doing well, but we decided to bring it in for the winter. It's in a window where it's getting the same amount of sun, but now the leaves are starting to turn yellow. Any suggestions to help us to keep it alive?
Yeah, so that pothos is a houseplant. It's actually a very low-maintenance, easy houseplant. But here's what happens. When we grow plants outside in the summertime, even though you think it has low light, it still has much higher light levels than it will have when it moves into your house. So a lot of times when we move these plants outside to inside, we have quite a bit of leaf drop that happens. And so that's sort of normal. And then you'll get new leaves that grow and develop that are adjusted to those lower light levels. However, another thing that could be causing those leaves to yellow is overwatering, which is really common in houseplants. And although pothos are super easy to take care of, really do be careful that you are not overwatering and that there's no water sitting in the saucer in the bottom of the plant either. That always gets dumped out after you water and let that water flush and drain through, and only water it when the plant is really dry.
All right, last one, right out of a text message for Doug and Jess. It says, I have some plants I need to bring indoors for the winter. And Clivia and Peace Lily, I've already sprayed them off with a strong steam of water from a hose. Is there something else I should do? Do you recommend anything else?
Well, here's what
neem
I do.
Neem oil, by the way. Recommend neem oil.
Here's what I do. I bring anything into like a sun porch first, halfway house. And then where it's warm enough where if something's going to hatch out, I'll see it, you know, and I want to inspect the plant. If I see anything, you know, I'm basically using horticultural oil or insecticidal soap to stop. Usually from in the plants that I'm bringing in, it's usually aphids or spider mites I see. And once I'm sure they're clean, then I let them into the house so they don't infect everything else. I don't want to bring aphids in or white flies or spider bites, whatever it might be.
And if you don't have a halfway house, like I don't have a sun porch to move those into, you could do it just in a separate room from your other houseplants. So let's say you don't have any houseplants in your bathroom, put them in the bathroom for a little while and see what hatches out. But that sharp stream of water really does make a difference to dislodge most pests.
Great idea.
For sure. And again, I'm with Doug on that. You know, the neem oil is sort of touted as being the be-all, end-all, but in reality, it's much harsher than something like a horticultural oil or insecticidal soap, which is, I'd way rather you use one of those
to
neem oil.
They're
very effective.
Very effective and safe. Yeah. I'm not using neem oil anymore for anything, really.
Yeah,
Back in the day, that was, for some things, was the only choice, but I'm not using it anymore.
Hey, real quick, 1 minute to the break. See if you can take care of these. A couple of more right out of my text messages. Lots of folks are texting Doug and Jess today. Going to overwinter some large geraniums. What are your suggestions?
You can do it as a houseplant. If you do, cut it back to one-third of the height. Put it in a nice, bright, sunny windowsill. You can also overwinter it by taking all of the soil off of the roots, putting it in it, cutting it back, putting it in a brown paper bag, and sticking it in a cool garage and ignoring it for the winter, believe it or not.
I've had the best luck as a houseplant.
Yep.
How about this one? What's your opinion on Back to Eden Gardening?
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
I've never heard that phrase.
Is it a line of products, maybe?
It just says Back to
Eden Gardening. More details,
please. Does it mean that we run around like with a fig leaf?
Oh, God.
No, that wouldn't be a big
story. I'll tell you my opinion of that. No, I won't. More details, please. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, send us another text. What's Back to the Eden Garden?
Well, we could always Google it, couldn't we? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got some sports coming up for you next. Congratulations to Tom from Coriopolis, winner of that $25 gift certificate from the good folks at Janoski's in Clinton.
That time again, it's Mrs. Know-It-All. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our own garden goddess. And Denise Schreiber, happy birthday.
Thank you.
29 again?
Tell anybody how old.
I said 29 again.
That's right.
I hope you celebrated
younger every year.
That's right. I hope you celebrated in style. We girls do get younger every year. So what's happening in your garden, Denise?
Well, Actually, something I like to do, you know, as a Garden Writer members, you know, we do get sent a lot of plants, and some kind of arrive later than we like in order to, you know, get them planted. And so a lot of these plants, what I did was I put them in my vegetable garden because I had already ripped that out, and I sink them into my raised beds. And then I actually get a bunch of old 5-gallon paint buckets with all the paint pulled out of them. And I cut off the bottom, and I kind of twisted over the plants themselves and then filled them with just some finely shredded leaves to kind of give them a little extra protection to have them come back after a hard winter. And it's something I've been doing for a few years, and it's worked out really well. So this year I'm trying a couple of plants that we've got a Laura petalum, which was purple and pink and white, and it's not hardy here at all. But I thought, you know, I grew it in a pot all year, and I'm like, oh, let me try and see if it comes back next year. I'm really hoping for a milder winter this year.
It's sort of like you have nothing to lose by adding a little extra layer of insulation to plants like that because it's already in your garden, so you might as well try. I feel that way with like crepe myrtles and things too. You know, why not try to overwinter it and see what happens?
All right, right back to the phones. Here's Dee in Dormont for Doug and Jess. Hey, Dee.
Oh, good morning. How are you today?
We're doing great. How about you?
I'm just fine. I listen to yous all the time. Now,
thank you.
I have a willow tree, and the deer sort of rub the bark a little bit. So what do you think? Is it going to die?
Well, if the bark is rubbed off all the way around the whole circumference of the tree, that's not very good because the vascular tissue, which is like the veins of the plant that move the water and nutrients up and down the plant, are located right underneath that bark. So when the bark is rubbed off, a lot of times that means that vascular tissue is rubbed off as well. And that's why the plant becomes girdled and dies. But if it's not all the way around and you still have those, you know, some bark connected so that those nutrients and that water can move around in the plant, then it will survive just fine. Have you taken a look?
It's just the one side.
Oh, yeah. You'll be okay. Now, here's the deal. People used to say all the time that you needed to, like, paint a sealant on it or paint Elmer's glue or something. Those are exactly the wrong things to do. We want that plant to naturally heal. It will build callus tissue. It will heal over on its own. When you paint anything on those kinds of injuries, it actually oftentimes will seal pathogens in and promote rot and disease. So instead, just let it naturally heal. But I would definitely put up some kind of fencing or a cage around the tree to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Now, here's what we did. I'm going to tell you what we did. Do you ever see these styrofoam pipe, you wrap your pipes up with them?
Sure. Right. Yep.
Okay, we put that on there. It's about 8 feet tall, this tree, on the bottom. We put two pieces on there. Will that hurt the tree?
Yeah, I would get that off because here's the thing. That's going to hold moisture against that bark and against that injury, and that's going to lead to rot.
You want something looser. Like a lot of times I use that black corrugated drainage pipe.
But only if there's at least an inch of airspace between the pipe and the trunk.
It's not touching it's not actually touching the bark. Otherwise, like Jess said, some kind of cage or something like that. And that it will heal naturally. You know,
Well, I'm so glad that you told me that because we want this tree, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I see people use like those pool noodles. They'll slice them open and use that. Those are big no-nos because that holds moisture and insects right up against that tree trunk.
And you only need to protect it during the rut.
Right.
And so at a certain point, the bucks aren't going to be rubbing.
Okay. Well, I appreciate all this. I'll tell you, I listen to yous all the time. You have so much good information.
Well,
it isn't even funny.
Thanks, Dee. Well, I appreciate that. Good luck with your tree.
All right. Listen, we're going to take a short break, come back, and wrap up the hour. But one more time, Doug, tell them where you're going.
Yeah, going to Italy. It's getting close to getting sold out. If you'd like to come with me, just check out everybodygardens.com or DougOster.com or give me a call, 412-965-3278. We always have fun.
Pies, cakes, cookies, and more.
Could go to Lancaster, but...
Or Wilkes-Barre.
Or Wilkes-Barre.
Holiday, go ahead, make fun of me. Just because I'm not so celebrities like you two. I don't have that
dispendable income. You're the biggest celebrity.
Yeah, right. They always say, hey, Ron, we love you on KDK. Ron, that's
all right.
Show.
I get Jennifer, so, you know.
And I get Doug Oster. Hey, it's Doug Oster.
And they still say Bob. I'm like, there was only one Bob, and he was my dad. All right, just don't call me late for dinner. We'll take a break. Hey, it's cookies, pies, cakes, and more holiday baking coming up. All on the next hour, that of course is the Coons Cooking Hour on KDK Radio. Stay with us.
Did you know that chipmunks eat beets and Swiss chard?
Are you sure it's a chipmunk and not a vole?
Pretty sure, because it's up in a big, tall container.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend actually saw the chipmunks eating his beets, and he caged his beets with hardware cloth, and now they haven't getting into it. If it was a vole, it would go underneath and it would eat.
Yeah.
But they're eating the tops.
Wow.
And they're eating them in my garden.
Wow.
And it's a pain.
Yeah. It's a constant. But I had squirrels eating my tomatoes this year, and they were so rude as to take a single bite out of each tomato. And I was watching it do it.
Squirrels got to eat,
and they'd eat the... No, they can eat from the bird feeder.
I think they think it's a berry. I think they see the color or something.
No, these were unripe ones. They were nibbling on the green tomatoes, then they let them there, and then I can't eat them.
I've seen squirrels doing it. Why? Eat the other side.
Well, they're not ripe. They don't ever ripen.
The other side you make fried green tomatoes out of.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I just wrote an article this week for my website, Savvy Gardening, and it was on deer-resistant flower bulbs. And it is a hot topic amongst gardeners, for sure.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.